So we're talking about the life of David. This is, and I put there a little review because it has been, I think, perhaps about 3 weeks since we shared on David. And so many of you might not have been here. Many of you might have missed some things. And so I have a little quick review. David went through various seasons, and there are certain places where significant things happened. And the first place is Bethlehem. That's where he was born. That's where he was born. That's where he was raised. And that's why at Christmas time, Joseph and Mary had to go back to Bethlehem, back to where David was born and raised. And in Bethlehem, David was a last child, last son for his parents. And so he was the one who had to take care of the sheep. And so he was underappreciated by his family. When Samuel came to visit to anoint the next king, David was not even invited. Jesse brought all of his other sons, and they looked to fit the part naturally. But God said, no, I'm looking for a special one, one who is a man after my own heart. And so there was David taking care of his father's sheep. Taking care of his father's sheep when they sent for him, and he was anointed king. And God declared that he was a man after his own heart. And we see in the life of David and through the Psalms that there's something that characterized him. He said in Psalm 27 that one thing he desired, and that he was going to seek after, that he might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And that was a passion of David, was God's presence. Even at the end of Psalm 23, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That was his passion. And that's why when he became king, one of the first things he did was to go and find the ark of God's presence and return it amongst God's people. He was the one who established worshipers to be around the throne, around God's presence 24/7 because of his heart and passion for God and for God's presence. But in Bethlehem, he was faithful to the mundane, taking care of his father's sheep. In Bethlehem, he, rather than being bored taking care of sheep, he spent his time worshiping God, playing on his harp, and becoming a worshiper of God. And there's a message for us that even the routine, even the mundane things of life, even if you have a job that is downright boring, you can use your time to be a worshiper of God. If you're doing a job where you don't have to think, then while you're going through the motions, just be worshiping God. Just be giving God thanks and magnifying his name, meditating upon the good things of God. And David was anointed king right there in Bethlehem, but he remained one of the meekest kings we could ever find. Then he moved to Gibeah, which is where Saul, King Saul, lived. King Saul, as many of us know, had some issues. If he was living in today's world, they perhaps diagnosed him as being bipolar or disassociated with personality. I don't know what it is, but he had many, many issues. And they said to him, well, there's a young man. We hear him playing all the time as he's taking care of his father's sheep. He sounds anointed. We think if you get him to come and play for you, you'll get a breakthrough. And as David played for King Saul, the Bible says each time David would play as an anointed psalmist, the presence of God would come and Saul would find relief. And so Saul had him live with him for a while taking care of his father's sheep, and he'd go back and forth, taking care of his father's sheep and ministering to Saul. And it was while then in Gibeah that Goliath came on the scene, and David, as you all know, killed Goliath, and then Saul said, you know what, I want you to live with me permanently. And David got married to one of Saul's daughters, and David became a part of Saul's household and sat around the table with King Saul, moving from insignificance to prominence. It was in Gibeah that he was tested by the praise of the people. The ladies would sing, Saul has killed his 1,000, but David has killed his 10,000. And so in Gibeah, he had to learn to live meek, as a meek individual, while people are praising him and giving him higher praise than the king. At Gibeah, Saul appointed David over the men of war. But at Gibeah, Saul tried many times to kill David because of his jealousy. And so that's a quick review. We talked about Psalm 23 and looked at different things in Psalm 23. This morning, I want to look at David thriving in the wildernesses. Several wildernesses that became just a part of the wilderness of Judah. But there are several wildernesses when you read the Old Testament. And David learned to thrive in the wildernesses of life. And my encouragement to us this morning is that we also need to learn to thrive, to be conquerors, more than conquerors, in the wildernesses of life. Because we all go through various seasons of life. And there are times when we find ourselves in a wilderness and we're wondering, what on earth are we doing here? And rather than become discouraged and depressed, we can thrive in the wildernesses of life. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 20. One simple verse there. Because while at Gibeah, David came into a covenant with Jonathan. And now David had to flee for his life. And in 1 Samuel 20 and verse 41, it says, after the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. Then they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most. And so having to flee from Gibeah, David went through a time of transition. And that began with this time of grief, this time of loss. Because his good friend, his closest friend, as the young people would say, his BFF, he now had to separate from him, separate from his family, and he went through a time of grief and loss. And it says, my Bible says, that both of them wept, but David wept more. And many of you have been through times of grief even this year. It's part of the seasons of life. We will go through times of grief, times of loss. David had to grieve the loss of relationship, perhaps a loss of opportunities, because he had lost a position, lost a privilege. He had to grieve all of that simply because of Saul. Circumstances really beyond his own control. And many times that's what loss is. It's circumstances oftentimes beyond our own control. You lose your job. You lose a family member. Loss of an opportunity. And you go through a time of grief. And can I tell us, friends, weeping is all right. Weeping helps us to come to grips with the grief and to walk through the stages of grief. And the Bible says David wept more than Jonathan. There is an idea perpetrated in our society that men don't weep. I don't know where it came from, but I suspect it's from the devil. Because a man who is after God's own heart, he wept loudly and more than Jonathan. Because he came to grips with the reality that was facing him. And I believe because he wept so much, he was able to thrive when he went into the wilderness. By the way, it's okay to say amen. Amen. You're looking like, you know, this is some big lecture in Carnegie Hall or somewhere where people will be offended. No, it's fine. The psychologists tell us that grief has various stages, and we're not going to go through the stages. I'll just list them there for you. The first stage being denial. And David perhaps couldn't believe that Saul was really trying to kill him. Is at least three times Saul threw his spear after David. And I'm thinking after the first time, son, why are you going back? And he perhaps is in denial, perhaps thinking, well, it just slipped out of his hand. But there came a point where you had to move from denial to realize that, no, this guy really wants to kill you. And they said the next stage is bargaining, which you don't necessarily have to go through all of these stages, and you don't go through the stages linearly either. You can go back and forth. A bargain is when people try and bargain with God or with some other circumstance to see if I did this, would things be different, etc., etc. And then there's anger. And usually after that comes depression, they say. And then you come to a point where you accept what has taken place. And I don't know if David went through all of these stages, but there came a point where I'm sure you had to accept what had taken place. And so if you turn with me to 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1. Because after David left Jonathan, he ended up being homeless and restless. And he went to the priest. And the priest gave him some food. The bread that used to be before the presence of the Lord, they replaced it, and David got some bread to eat. And he got the sword of Goliath. But he couldn't stay there, and he moved on to be amongst the Gath, the city of Gath, where the king was there, and the king was like, is this the same guy who they're singing about who's going to be the next king? And David, it says, pretended that he was insane as a way of getting away from that king. Keep your finger there in 1 Samuel 22. And let's look at Psalm 34. Scholars say that this Psalm 34 is a psalm that David wrote, perhaps recalling what he had gone through before that king when he acted as if he was insane. And Psalm 34, verse 6, the psalmist says, this poor man called, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. David says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who fear him, and he delivers them. Verse 10, it says, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And so the psalmist reflects upon his life and says, you know what? Even though I was acting insane, I had confidence in a Lord who was going to take care of me. And I like the last part of this psalm. Psalm 34, verse 19, it says, a righteous man may have many troubles. The King James says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And it goes on to say, but the Lord delivers him from them all. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? That being a righteous person, being a follower of God, doesn't mean that we don't go through some hard times. Doesn't mean we don't have afflictions. It doesn't mean that everybody likes us. We go through some difficulties. We go through some hard times, difficult circumstances. Things become chaotic sometimes. But you have the assurance that God will deliver the righteous out of all of his troubles. All we need to do is keep our focus on the Lord. All we need to do is continue to seek his face. And that's what David said. I went through a lot of stuff in my life. But you know, one thing I can guarantee is that God delivered me out of all of them. Not out of some. Not out of 50% or 70%. But out of all of my troubles, God delivered me. And I want to tell us, friends, when you're going through the wildernesses of life, you need to have the assurance that God will take you through. It might be a long time in the wilderness. David was there for perhaps about 7 years. But sooner or later, God will take us through. And we need not lose faith, but to keep our hope and our trust in God Almighty. The next verse is a verse that Tammy was quoting to me recently. Many of you know that Tammy had a rude encounter with a horse on Highway 5. And it's like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And Tammy was saying, and quoting this scripture here, giving God thanks. Psalm 34, verse 20, it says, he protects all my bones, not one of them will be broken. And that's what God did for Tammy. Because if you saw that car, or pictures of that car, you realize it had to be the hand of God to protect her, that no bones were broken, and she's here worshiping God with us this morning. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. God didn't say we won't have some difficulties. He just said that he'll take us through. Verse 21 says, evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servant. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in the Lord. That's the Psalm of David. And so now we find David, Psalm 22 verse 1. David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam, a place of transition. He finds himself in a cave. When his brothers and father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. And so here he is hiding out in the cave, and his family discovered that, and they came to him. And the next verse says about 400 men came and joined David in the cave. Sometimes you find yourself in some caves, and you wonder, how did you get here? Because of the circumstances of life. But David found a way to thrive in the midst of his cave experiences. And so can you, and so can I. With the God that we serve, we can thrive in any circumstance. And so here in the cave, you know, it's a responsibility for his father and mother. And so he takes them to the king of, was it Moab? In verse 3, from there David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me? He's in the cave and he's not sure what is happening. What is God saying? What is God saying to you, David? I don't know. How are things going to work out? I don't know. So will you take care of my appearance, because I don't have a clue what's going to happen next? And friends, I'm telling you, sometimes in life you don't know what's going to happen next. All you know is that there's a God who's in control. All we need to do is put our trust in a God who's in control. He will lead me step by step. I can't explain it. I don't know. And we live in a society that wants us to be able to explain everything. And there's so many things happening around us. We just don't know sometimes. How are you going to pay the rent? I don't know. But I find myself in this cave. One thing I do know is that the Lord will deliver the righteous. The God will come through because I'm faithful to him. And right there, or soon after that, a prophet came and gave David a word. Verse 5 of chapter 22. The prophet God said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah. So David left and went into the wilderness of Heres. And so David finds himself in the wildernesses, running away from Saul, running for his own life, living in the wilderness. And while he's in the wilderness, he gets word from one of the sons of the priest that he had stopped at, that King Saul had gone and with Doeg had killed 85 of the priests. All because the priest gave him some food and allowed him to take the sword of Goliath. And so 1 Samuel 22 and verse 22 says, then David said to Abiathar, that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would be sure to tell Saul, I am responsible for the death of your father's whole family. Can you imagine that? In the wilderness, David has seen himself as being responsible for the death of 85 people. And we all know that ultimately Saul is the one who's responsible. But David's like saying, if I hadn't gone there, this would not have happened to them. And sometimes when you're in the wilderness, things happen all around you. And you feel as if you are responsible. And nobody can fully understand what you're going through. And if I was there with David, I'd say, David, don't take it so hard, David. It's not your fault. But deep within David's heart, David's like saying, yes, if I had not gone there, this would not have happened to this man's family. When you're in the wilderness, sometimes nobody really understands you but God. Is there anybody out there? Have you ever been there? When you're in some circumstances that not even your best friend can understand fully. Only God really knows. Whether it be that you're grieving the loss of a loved one, or you're grieving the loss of some circumstances, or you find yourself responsible for some things out there, no matter what it is, only God really knows what's going on in your heart when you're in the middle of the wilderness. But David somehow found a way still to thrive. Rather than staying there and withering away, he still found a way to thrive. And so the verse that we skipped in verse 2, it says that 400 men, and later on some others came and joined, and 400 disgruntled people came and became a part of David's group. These weren't the best of Israel. How many know that? It says some of them owed money. They were in debt. Now, I mean, Saul, under his economic plan, it was difficult for some people. Saul oppressed some of the people with taxes and all different type of stuff. But the reality is they were still in debt. They were discontented. They were disgruntled. These are the people that came and joined David's group. And you can just imagine the griping and complaining. As if David didn't have enough trouble. But one of the things happened that David in the wilderness learned to become a leader. He learned to bring these men together and make them into a mighty army. God allowed him to develop some leadership skills right there in the wilderness, with the worst of the worst, so to speak. In the wilderness, David had to learn to seek God for himself and to hear from God for himself. He couldn't depend upon anybody else. And so when the Philistines were coming against this particular city, David sought the Lord and said, Lord, should I go? And God spoke to him and said, yes, go on and protect them. Go and defend them. David learned to hear God for himself. Friends, I'm saying sometimes in the wilderness, you have to find God for yourself. You can't depend upon your brother or your sister. You can't depend upon the prophets of God. You have to find God for yourself to know what to do next. And too many times in Christianity, we become a crutch trying to expect others to tell us what to do. You need to know from God what God is saying to you. Yes. And so the wilderness became a place where David learned to wait upon the Lord and to hear God's voice. And David in the wilderness would seek to protect different cities. And he defeated the Philistines and protected this particular city. And the same people of, what is that, Keilah, that he had protected, these same people betrayed him to King Saul. These same people were so afraid of Saul that they went and contacted Saul and says, David is hiding out down here. You can find him here. Sometimes in the wilderness, your best of friends betray you. Sometimes you can't trust people. They turn around and stab you in the back. You don't know who to trust sometimes when you're in the wilderness. David did good for these people. At least he could have just kept their mouth shut. But instead, he went and contacted Saul and said, he's hiding out down here. And the Ziphites, when he was in the wilderness of Ziph, they went and said, you know what, King Saul, he's hiding out down here. Friends, and so sometimes when you're in the wilderness, you don't know who to trust. And so you have to put your trust in God and God alone. Only He fully understands. Sometimes people are meaning well. You're going through your grief and they mean well. But some of the things they say just make it a little bit more difficult for you. I've been there. I've lost both parents. So I know what I'm talking about. And in those times, you have to find God. and God alone. Allow him to be your comforter, him to be your strength. Allow him to guide and lead you. And people come and say, you're still grieving, you should be over it by now. Only God can take us through in his own time. And David had to learn that. God wants us to thrive in the midst of our wildernesses. In the wilderness, we seem to be more open to attacks. Just when you think things are going okay, things just go crazy again. 1 Samuel chapter 23. And verses 14 and 15. It says, David stayed in the wilderness strongholds and in the hills of the wilderness of Ziph. It says, day after day, Saul searched for him. Day after day, his enemy was looking to try and find him, to destroy him, to kill him. So you think you have life bad? Think again. I mean, think about it. How did David end up there? He was taking care of his father's sheep. God anointed him. He went to help out Saul. And now he sees Goliath and he kills Goliath, and all of a sudden his life goes topsy-turvy. He didn't do anything. And here is King Saul searching for him day after day to try and kill him. So in the time of your wilderness, sometimes the enemy tries all different ways to get at you. To try and discourage you, to try and get you into self-pity, to try and get you into depression, to try and get you isolated and locked away from everybody else. But I like the last part of that verse. But God did not give David into his hands. And it was Saul seeking to destroy his life, but God protected David. God supernaturally protected David while Saul is looking for him with 3,000 men. And what I'm saying to us, friends, is in the midst of our wildernesses, God will still protect us. God will still be there for us and with us. And things might look dismal. You might not know what's going to happen next, but you have the assurance that if God is with me, I don't care who can be against me. You have the assurance that David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear. Why? Because God is with me. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's easy to be excited about God in church. Or at least it should be. But when some difficult stuff happens, when you lose your job, that's where the rubber meets the road. Can you still be excited about God? Can you still put your faith and trust in God when things don't seem to work out the way you expected them to work out? David didn't just one day get anointed by God and the next day became king. Some of us believe, well, if God anointed me, I mean, I felt his presence so real. Everything must be great, great tomorrow. It wasn't so for David. Yes, Samuel anointed him, but what happened after that? It was all sort of problems after that. I'm telling you, friends. Don't let anybody tell you that this Christian life is just a nice, smooth sailing. It isn't. It's hard. We have to put our faith and trust in God to take us through step by step. But we have the assurance that he will. And we can go through it with a smile on our face. We can go through it declaring that God is good all the time because he is. And so right there in the middle of the wilderness, David's BFF found him. David's body found him. That's verse 16 of 1 Samuel chapter 23. And Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Or the NASB says, help him, NASB says, and encouraged him in the Lord. Isn't it amazing how God has a way of sending individuals into your life just when you need that word of encouragement? Just when everything sounds so bad. Just when you find that Saul is trying to take your life. God has put a person there just to give you a word of encouragement. And here David's covenant brother found him and encouraged him in the Lord and says, I know you will be king one day. Don't worry about it, David. It looks dismal now. How is it going to work out? I don't know. But I have this assurance God is going to make you king one day. And encourage him in the Lord. And friends, I've come to realize that no matter how strong you are in God, all of us at some point need some encouragement from somebody else. That's how God ordained the body of Christ. There are times when I am weak and I need a word of encouragement. There are times when you are weak and you need a word of encouragement. God didn't expect me to live this Christian life all by myself. And so David needed a word of encouragement. And Jonathan found him and gave him that word of encouragement. Verse 17, Jonathan said, don't be afraid, he said. My father will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel and I'll be second to you. Even my father knows this. There's a song we used to sing way back when, at least I used to sing. A song that says, the harder the battle, the sweeter the victory. The more the devil fights, the more that you know that the victory is secure and there's going to be a great victory. And so Jonathan was saying to David, even Saul knows this, that's why he's fighting so hard. You're wondering why you end up in that place. Don't worry. God has some great things in store. Keep holding on. Keep looking to God. Sooner or later, there'll be a breakthrough. And so Jonathan found him, and they renewed their covenant before the Lord. Now, many of you, the word covenant just flies over your head because it doesn't mean anything to you, and perhaps sometime in next year, we'll talk about covenant again. But covenant is a very important thing. And so these two men renewed their covenant to each other, saying basically, brother, I'm going to be there for you and for your family. And your problems are my problems and my problems are yours. And no matter what happens, we are in this thing together. We are closer than family. Which is what Jesus has said to us as his covenant brothers. In the wilderness, you're tested to live by men's philosophy. Because this group of people that David had, that came to him. Twice, when Saul is in the cave, they said to him, David, clearly God has put your enemy right in front of you. According to the philosophy of this world, if your enemy is coming after you and you have them right there where you can do something to him and destroy him. That's a philosophy of the world. This person stabbing you in the back and you have an opportunity to do something to hurt them, then hurt them. If you need to lay them off. Get rid of them. That's a philosophy of the world. And this is why I know that David learned leadership principles here, because David says, no, I can't do that. You see, friends, in the wilderness, you have to establish some godly values to live by. Some non-negotiables. Where you say, I'm going to be a person of integrity. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cheat. The world might say it's fine, but before God, I can't do it. And so David's principle was that I cannot touch God's anointed. How can I do that? But he's right in front of you. He's trying to kill you. So if you get a chance to kill him first, hey, it might be God. And David says, no, I will not touch God's anointed. You are still respectful of God's anointed, even though this man was trying to kill him. And I'm saying to us, friends, we need to develop some godly principles. I'm so disappointed sometimes when I meet Christians that have no values. Christians that say one thing and mean something else. And in the wilderness, you have to live by some godly principles. The philosopher of the world would say, well, since you have lost your loved one and you're all by yourself, why don't you go out there and just have a nice time at the bar and enjoy yourself? Philosophy of the world. But these are the people that are around David. But David had to know before God what are the principles that he needs to live by. 1 Samuel chapter 24. And verse 4, it says, the men said, this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I'll give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. That's what they're saying. God said it before that he's going to give your enemy, so. One of the principles we should always live by is to have a clear conscience before God. Friends, don't do things that go against your conscience. And the Bible says when David caught the skirt of Saul's garment, that his conscience struck him. And he realized, I shouldn't have even done that. And when we violate our consciences, friend, we put ourselves in a place where it becomes harder for us to hear from God. And so Paul in his writing says that he served God with a clear conscience. Yes, other people might be able to do it. But God has not set me free to do it, and I'm going to live by the principles that God has given to me. I'm not talking about you living by my principles or you trying to force me to live by your principles. I'm living by having a clear conscience before God. I'm not here to judge you, but I need to be free before God with my conscience. I need to be able to go to my bed at night and say, Lord, I've been obedient to you. The second time he saw Saul, Saul's men had fallen asleep, and David went and took away Saul's sword. 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 8. Abishai said to David, today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of my spear. I'll strike him twice. I won't strike him twice. Just one, as they would say, just one lick. I don't need to hit him twice, just once, and he'll be dead. That's what Abishai is saying. I mean, the enemy. Just say the word, David. And I'm saying, friends, if we don't have some godly principles to live by, we'll be put to the test time and time again. But David said to Abishai, don't destroy him. Who can lay hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And I like verse 10, as surely as the Lord lives, he said, the Lord himself will strike him. Either his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay hand on the Lord's anointed. And many times we try and solve too many things ourselves, rather than trusting God to work things out. And so you can see the heart of David. David's like, yes, God has anointed me king. Yes, this guy's trying to kill me. But you know what? If God wanted him dead, God could do it himself. And I'm saying to us, friends, we need to learn to put our faith and trust in God in the midst of our wildernesses. I mean, just one strike and his wilderness experience could have come to an end. I mean, if he kills Saul, that's the end of it. Nobody's chasing him anymore. And you solve all your problems. You lose a loved one, well, let's go find somebody else. Anybody will do. And they end up in more problems than before. Wait upon the Lord. He will work things out in his own way. Am I talking to anybody here? Does this make any sense? You know, a lot of time when we read David, and we think David was always just this guy who's always on top of stuff. He was in the midst of the wilderness, and he was still learning to thrive by trusting in God. He wasn't sitting in a corner being depressed and distressed. But rather, he was trusting God, saying, you know what, if God has anointed me, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. God will work things out in his own time. And so David had to learn to control this bunch of misfits. No, guys, you can't do that. One version says he had to persuade them, he had to teach them principles. David tried to make peace with Saul. The first time around when he saw him in the cave, and Saul said, okay. And before you know it, he was after David again. And as we said the last time, that there's some people that you just can't help. There are some people who are so bent that you can't help them. Paul says, as far as it dwells within you, as far as it lies within you, to live at peace with all men. And David did his best to try and live at peace with Saul, but Saul didn't want peace. And there are some people who are like that you have to try and get yourself out of their way. And so David eventually says, you know what? I can't trust this guy. Let me get away from Israel. Let me get away from Judah. And that's what he eventually had to do. But friends, as I wrap this up, let me just say that to thrive, you have to be a person of hope, a person of faith, and a person of love. David had strong faith in the wilderness that God would make a way, that God would take him through. And so in the midst of our wildernesses, when we don't understand what's happening, we have to have faith in God. That God will bring me through. I don't know when, I don't know how, but God is going to make a way. But I thought you were anointed. I thought the prophet said X or Y. Yes, but God has to bring it to pass. First Thessalonians 1 and verse 2 says, we always thank God for you all, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Corinthians 13 that there remains faith, hope, and love. And so David had faith in God and a hope that because of God's character, God was going to intervene and bring things around. And David demonstrated love even for his enemy. Faith, hope, and love. And I'm saying to us, friends, in the midst of our wilderness experiences, we have to be people who have faith, hope, and love in our God so we can thrive. So you're not there trying to get attention from people, but rather you're in the midst of your circumstance, you can say, I'm trusting in God. I have hope because God said X or Y, He will bring it to pass. I don't have to work by men's philosophy. I don't have to work by men's principle. I can put my trust in the Word of God. I don't have to scheme and do all sort of backdoor deals. Because there's a God who is in heaven. And so as the psalmist said in Psalm 34, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him out of them all. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. But I know he's going to deliver me out of this circumstance. He has not brought me to live in the wilderness. I'm just passing through. And so in the midst of the wilderness, you can still be a seeker of God. You can still worship God. You can still magnify God. Because God is good when? And all the time, let us stand. The Bible calls David a man after God's own heart. And the more I study his life, the more I come to appreciate why. Because had I been in his shoe, I'm not so sure I'd have been stopping my body from pinning him to the ground. I'd be like, I'm not even looking. But David realized that if he had done that, God would still hold him responsible. You're in charge of them. I'm not so sure I'd have counted myself to blame for the death of the priest and his family. But David's like, it's because of me. He took it personally. Let's just bow our heads this morning. I don't know what you're going through. But if there's somebody in this house who's saying, Joe Campbell, I'm in the midst of a wilderness. Will you pray with me? I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody in this house? Anybody else? Can I ask you just to raise your hand again and ask somebody, saints, just to go by and just pray? Let's just keep our heads bowed as we pray for those who raise their hand. Anybody else? God wants us to thrive in the midst of the wilderness.